Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
I wasn't expecting that you were already online, so I used the full sign-in.
It's all good. I was only late last time because my mom was depressed and I was talking to her.
Sure, blame your mom. I'm sure they'll depress her even more than using her for an excuse.
Oh, yeah. This time I was almost late because I was talking to Prepper.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Actually,
kidding about her being a prepper, or just
kidding about talking to her. I was actually unloading my stuff into my friend's spare bedroom.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I got a little bit too much stuff, but I also had a bigger place, sharing that apartment with the other guy. Sandbox, even though they didn't pay us all that great, the money that we weren't making went to go pay for hotels and apartments and everything else. Well, the hotels were expensive. The apartment wasn't that bad. I mean, they're paying $1,500 a month for all utilities paid apartment plus internet. So that's like $750 a piece. It's not really that bad, but the hotels they were paying for was like $1,000 a week easy, when they really could have only been paying like $200 a week. So, but I guess the boss wanted the whole frequent shopper mile thingy and the frequent flyer miles, whatever they're called with the credit card. He had buttloads of frequent whatever miles.
Okay.
Number. And so he went on vacation a lot. And I think that's why he was spending all that money on hotels, is so that he would have all those perks when he wanted to go take a vacation. So it was at the driver, it was at the employees' expense. Because they could have paid us like $4,000 to $6,000 a month when they're only paying us three.
Oh, let me get this. So they'd stick you in a hotel room and he'd quote unquote pay it, but you probably got charged for it on your paycheck.
Well, I didn't get charged for it on my paycheck. I just didn't get paid
for
what I could have got paid. So that $3,000 a month that went to hotel expenses, $2,000 of that at least could have went to me. And he could have spent only like $600 a month in hotel expenses. So I found a hotel that was not a bad hotel. It was only like $225 a week. That's only because I wanted a refrigerator. If I didn't want a refrigerator, it was only $200.
But
yeah, I mean, shoot. And I worked, you know, 3 weeks out of a month. So that's $600 versus $3,000. And he wonders why people quit.
Now, this is your latest employer, or?
Yeah, the one I was working for. I basically just doubled my money.
So Sandbox, basically.
Yeah, Sandbox. Now I'm working for Rig Runners, which the pay isn't really all that much more.
Is it the expenses are less?
Well, not so much that, all right? The way it works is, with Sandbox, I had to report for duty at 4 o'clock every day. and I had to work 12 hours every day. Whether I actually worked or not, I had to be there on duty 84 hours a week. Okay? So I get paid, you know, a salary of $3,000 a month for 84 hours a week, regardless if I work or not. Then I get paid on top of that about $50 to $60 a load. Well, you might get one or two loads a day. Average, I was getting 1.5 loads a day. So on average, I was making about $200 a day, which isn't too bad. But, you know, that's considering, you know, a five-day work week, because I work. Now, if I actually worked 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks, I would make less per day because my base pay would have to go stretch it out a little bit more and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But so anyways, so all in all, I was only making about $1,000 a week. Now, with rig runners, I don't have to be there at any certain time. I put myself on board, kind of like with the railroad or a lot of unions. They have a load board or whatever. You put yourself on the board, and whoever's first on the board is first up. So it's like first come, first serve. See, when you're ready to go to work, or you're about to be ready to go to work, which that can backfire. But so when you're ready to go to work, you put yourself on the board. And when they got work and it's your turn to go to work, you go to work. So I don't have to worry about sitting around the yard for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours waiting for work. I can be productive doing other things while I'm waiting for work. And then whenever they got work, boom, I go to work. So it's like when I wake up, I put myself on the board. I may go to work right away. I may not. But I'm not sitting around wasting my time.
That's a lot like when I work for Western Messenger.
Right. So I get paid more, not a lot more, but I get paid more per load. And then I'm not sitting around waiting for work. So overall, it pays better.
Yeah, I'd call Western Messenger about 15 minutes before I stepped out the door, because sometimes they didn't want me to go to San Francisco. Sometimes they sent me immediately up to Sacramento.
Right. Like the other night, I put in my 2 weeks notice with Sandbox, and they said, okay, we accept your 2 weeks notice. I got to work, and I was sitting, getting ready for the JSA meeting, and they pulled me out of the JSA meeting and said, go home, have a nice day, you're done, you're out of here, bye. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. So I was like, I was a little dumbfounded, but I was pretty much ready for that because I had a feeling that was coming. Mostly because my old roommate, he quit not too long before I did. He said most people spend their 2 weeks notice, and they don't keep them around for 2 weeks. They let them go right away.
Right.
He says, don't put in your 2 weeks notice until you're ready to quit, because they're probably not going to work you. They're probably going to let you go. I was like, all right, bet. So I waited till I got paid.
What's the reason behind that? Is there a history of people misbehaving after they put in their 2 week notice, or what's going on?
Well, in business, they say that your last 2 weeks you're not as productive, especially if you're disgruntled. You know, you're better off just to let them go early.
So I'm an oddball, and you probably are too.
Well, I guess I would judge it by the person's behavior. If they're counterproductive on the last 2 weeks, I'd be like, hey, you're being counterproductive. I'm going to go ahead and let you go early, but I'm going to honor, you know, that you gave your 2 weeks notice and, you know, you're not going to get a bad report or anything like that. I'm just going to go ahead and let you go early.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be up straight and honest with them.
I'm talking about on the other end. Because, like, when I found out I was a short-timer in the Navy, Captain came out and saw me doing all these fiddling jobs that they were giving me because, you know, I was a short-timer and they didn't really want me in the shop anymore or whatever. All right? So I was doing all the maintenance jobs and such that, you know, that that particular department was assigned. So I was cleaning fire stations and stuff like that. And the captain knew I was a short timer, but he's sitting there watching me take apart one of the fire stations, and I'm cleaning it thoroughly and completely and to spec, doing everything that's supposed to be done. And he questioned me on that. He's like, you know, you sure you want out of the Navy? You know, it's like, you know, obviously you take pride in what you do. You know,
right?
And I told him, well, quite frankly, it's because I take pride in what I do and take pride in the fact that I do good work that I'm leaving, which took him aback a little bit. But
you know. Yeah, because they didn't really appreciate that. He might have, but the military didn't.
No, it's like, well, you know, I was a volunteer, and they dicked me around as if I was some parolee that was trying to avoid prison. You know, they had those, you know, that's actually where the majority of the sailors came from when I was in. They had a choice, prison or military.
Oh, yeah, old school.
And so they chose military. And,
I would too.
Well, yeah, maybe. If I knew then what I know now, I probably would have said prison.
Oh no, you're less likely to be somebody's butt buddy in the military.
This is true. Yeah.
I mean, unless you are gay, then I would. Yeah, then you might want to pick prison.
Well, actually, they've changed that since. But that time I got out was when they started. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Well, I'd been out for a few years
when they started doing.
Don't ask, don't tell, though, is to protect the gays. It's not to promote somebody raping you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think if you rape somebody, that's along the lines of you just told.
Well, not only that, but somebody's going to tell on you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you rape somebody, you just told the whole Navy that you're gay. So,
yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man.
So,
so.
You want to read the disclaimer, or do you want the computer to?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Give me a moment while I load it up.
Okay.
Tonight might be the night I do the perfect reading. And then you can clip it out of the podcast and play it forever until you rewrite it.
Forever. So I change it again?
So you change it again, then I have to read it yet again. Now,
yeah.
Now what's your rating? What's your changing about once every other week?
Oh, no. I hadn't changed it in a while, but I'd been meaning to because I wanted to.
Well, you did change it recently.
I wanted to clarify the man or other animals because that's confusing to a lot of people. We didn't really clarify it. It just sits in there. And And if we didn't clarify it, people would think we were nuts. Like, what?
Well,
man,
the honest truth,
these guys are fucked up.
It's the disclaimer isn't so much for the people listening. It is somewhat. But it's for the people who are calling us man or other animals.
Oh, well, we know that. We know that, and other people may know that, but other people may not know that. And if still, they'll be like, what the heck is that? What are these guys smoking? So, yeah, I just wanted to clarify what man or other animals means. And so that's, I've been meaning to update that, and I just didn't really, I didn't know how to word it until a couple weeks ago when I just kind of figured it out, you know, between our conversations and whatnot. I was like, okay, this will work. So then once I figured it out, it still took 2 weeks for me to actually do it.
Yeah, I would shorten the quote to the law down to, I'd say, as per the definition found in U.S. Code Title 15, Chapter 2, subsection, whatever. Well, Title 15.
We probably don't
and,
need to add the subsections. We just get them close enough where they actually start doing their own homework.
As per the definitions found in Title 15 and Title 21, I think it's actually listed in some other places. I don't know. Are those the ones I sent you?
Yeah. Those are the ones that you sent me.
Yeah, I know. And it's confusing reading that stuff, you know.
Right? That's where they want it. Double talk.
What's funny is those two sections read almost identical. It's like...
Right? What,
you know,
one's federal and one's state?
No, they're both federal. Just different sections of the law, and they're defining things. And they don't directly define man as an animal. They do it by context. All right? And folks, if I said to you, cars and other plants...
Well, yeah, that's basically the same thing.
All right. If I said cars and other plants, you'd go, cars are not plants. Okay. Now, you went to school and you were taught evolution and you're taught that man evolved from ape and blah, 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 all of which may or may not be true. But it makes it real easy for you to accept that you're an animal. And so... if somebody read to you a law that said man or other animals, it would not faze you on average.
On average.
But if you're a scripture-reading Christian who ignores your pastor and actually reads, all right, I mean, the purpose of the minister of your church...
Then you would know that we're alien.
Well, yeah, well, that too. But, but besides that... you'd know that, according to Scripture, man was assigned to practice dominion over the animals and was specifically told not to practice dominion over other men. All right.
What about women?
Well, yeah, there's some argument there. I think common sense tells you that men and women still fall under the same category of being mankind. Okay, and
it's not woman or other animals.
No, it's not woman or other animals. It's you know, men and women are mankind. Okay, and it's
well, I guess that would work. Otherwise, we'd be practicing bestiality.
Good point. Good point. Next time one of my sexist, racist friends approached me and says, well, women are only here to serve men. They only get their glory through men and they, you know, their connection to God is only through their man. It's like, well, gee, do you believe in bestiality? No, that's sick and disgusting. Well, basically, you're describing your woman as being nothing more than a beast. So you're screwing an animal. You're practicing bestiality. All right?
Pretty much.
You know, either you're bedding down with your equal or you're bedding down with an animal. So make up your mind.
Meh.
You know? She was your
animal.
Per scripture, she's your help mate. Not your servant, not your slave, not the inferior creature that's supposed to obey your every whim and desire, but your helpmate, the one that you are supposed to cooperate with. Cooperation goes two directions. All right? A helpmate, help, she's helping you, i.e., you're helping her.
She's supposed to be helping you.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to be helping each other.
Sure.
All right? Sure. If you're stronger than her, yeah, you're supposed to pick up the 50-pound bags of rice and carry them into the house. All right? If she's better at the finances, then she's supposed to sit down and do the books. All right? You know, which, you know, traditionally a lot of families did exactly that. Okay? Now, it may happen that you're the scrawny little bookkeeper and she's the beefy, muscular Amazon woman. So she's bringing in the 50-pound bags while you keep the books. Same difference. All right, same difference. What's you know? Okay, fine. You know, whatever works out. You cooperate with each other. You work it out among yourselves. How the family is supposed to be structured and how you do things. You know, and you will probably decide among yourself and should among yourselves in the event that a decision has to be made by one and only one of you because A, you can't come to a decision or whatever, then you might decide on which one of you that is. Okay? And there might be certain circumstances. If she's the main person doing the cooking in the house, which often happens, then her word should be law in the kitchen. So you don't be taking her ladles and putting them in the wrong drawer, okay? You don't disorganize her, okay? Because then you're not cooperating.
I need to find me a womb animal.
A womb animal?
A womb animal.
A womb animal. I can't quite say that.
A womb animal.
All right.
I'm just kidding. All right. Disclaimer.
I got it.
You ready?
I believe so. This is the disclaimer as of 2018, January 7.
Bam, bam, bam.
So here we go. Demented Dungeons & Dragons disclaimer. Legal notice. This podcast.
Give me two.
Mate. You ruined it. I
oh,
got
sorry.
To do it again.
Okay, start over.
Demented
yeah.
Dungeons
okay.
and Dragons.
Okay. Legal notice. In other words, we're talking to the legal people. Okay.
Right.
Carry on. And that's why we're called Demented Dungeons.
All right. Here he goes.
Okay. Seriously.
Shut up.
Stupid.
Let me ruin it by myself, please.
That's
all right,
not
here.
Hard to do.
No, it's not. Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Legal notice. This podcast may be very controversial. Actually, it is. This podcast is our personal opinions, our views, our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our firsthand knowledge is your hearsay evidence. You should always go and do your own homework. You are not necessarily encouraged. I'm sorry, I goofed it up already. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what's right, when it's right, because it's right. We encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, and your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would have them pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is the result of a nutritionally deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and or other animals. We are not animals. As described in FDA state and federal regulations under the U.S. Code, Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 1, Subsection 55, B, D, and U.S. Code, Title 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321, F, and so forth. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your humans about us. All right. Contact information.
Contact information.
Basically, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com and they'll tell you how to call into the program and listen to us. Also, if you don't feel like calling in, that's fine. Send your questions to the email addresses given there.
We don't have email addresses on there.
What? Well, we need to fix that right away. I suppose you could give them my balderdashdump at yahoo.com address. I may or may not see it. I get about 1,000 to 2,000 junk mails a day at that account. I do scan through them, and if I see something looks interesting, I go for it. So may I suggest that if you want to reach me that way, put in the subject line DD&D podcast.
Or
Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Just
Or your phone number's on there. They can just text it to you.
That's true. They can text it to my phone number. I do check it on a regular basis. I think the longest I've gone without checking my phone is maybe 4 hours, but it will get checked. Okay.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's something you want us to talk about, text David Ray. If you want to schedule a podcast, whatever. You know, if you want to call in, but you want to schedule a special podcast, you know. You
yep.
can call the podcast anytime and schedule a podcast that way. Or call or text David. Oh, sorry.
Yay.
You like oatmeal?
I do.
Oh, okay.
You weren't asking me.
All right. Well, I'll put it in here. He just got back from a hot date.
Woo-hoo! All righty. Well, one of my better readings, but I made the obvious goof, and then I made a couple of – I rearranged words as I talked. Don't think
yeah.
it changed the meaning significantly, but it still was not a perfect reading.
I got some – well, some of the stuff was for the apartment, like this light – because the bedroom didn't have a light. It was on the light plug thingy. So I had to go get a light.
So we'll just like listen that. In on Kaino's private conversation with his roommate. And...
But, yeah, I'm just going through boxes. Like, two of them are sweet potatoes. Do you like sweet potatoes?
Yeah, really, yeah.
I'm trying to sell a lot of them, but you know, we can have some.
Yeah.
Hey! Don't be giving away the free sweet potatoes for free.
Don't be giving away the free sweet potatoes for free.
You can give them rejects for free. Did you take any rejects?
I did not, but I'll be there in 2 weeks, so I can get All some right. more. I'm pretty much trying to sell these, but I've eaten a couple.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting burned out on them. So.
That's all right. Bill's giving his wife a hard time because they have tons of sweet potatoes, and he expects to see sweet potatoes at every meal.
Yeah, they're good.
So they can reduce. So they can reduce. They can reduce their food bill. You know, and you know, I've got about 150 pounds of sweet potato rejects right here. That if somebody doesn't eat them, they're just going to go to waste.
All right. Well, I'll bring those next time. I forgot to bring them last time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, take what you think
roommate,
you can eat.
My last roommate left a fire chimney, or it's a charcoal chimney behind. You think we could put that to use on the farm?
I'm not sure where that is, but just go ahead and bring it.
All right. Google it.
I don't know. Whatever, we'll figure it out and put it to use. So, okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff there, but some of it's the stuff that my roommate left behind, and so I figured, well, I'll put it to use.
All right. Well, farm business.
Farm business.
Yeah, I plan on spending the day on the land tomorrow. What should be my main focus? Should I do the line first, or should I move gravel first, or?
Oh, I'll worry about the gravel. Focus.
Okay.
Focus on the pond and the fence line for the second yard.
Okay, so I'll survey the center line later.
Well,
okay.
And that, too. Those are the three primary things.
Right. Which is the first one I should work on?
Well, probably either surveying for the solar panels so we can have electricity.
Okay.
Or working on the second goat yard because the pond's going to cost me over $1,000 to do, so or about $1,000, not counting the fencing. So that's going to be a minute since child support just cleaned me out.
Yes. Okay.
So I got to start over saving on my emergency fund.
Now, my personal project, actually, the first thing I am going to focus on is moving that line over the front line of the greenhouse, because it is too close to the property line. But that's a relatively easy thing to do. That's a relatively easy thing to do. All right?
Yeah.
And
you can focus on that first and then do the solar panel.
Because the reason I'm going to do that first is because I'm going to start digging the foundation for that greenhouse. You know, I'll level it out by hand. You know, because I want someplace to live on the land next winter. Period. There's so much, the animals would have done much better if I was there all the time. There's so much I could have gotten done this winter if I was there all the time. You know,
right.
On days when I got froze out from being able to drive because the roads were slick, I would have been trapped on the land, which means I would have been able to continue to work on the land anyway. You know?
True.
So, anyway. So, and, you know, last winter, not this winter, but the winter before this, I was on the land, but I'm in a freezing cold camping, and basically I did not want to get out of bed before it was relatively warm, like up to 32 degrees. Before I crawled out of bed, which was sometimes 2 p.m. in the afternoon, because I was buried under my blankets keeping warm. So I hibernated all last winter. Okay. This winter, even though it's a pain in the butt to get up every 2 hours and feed a wood stove in order to keep the place at the right temperature, overall I was more productive, but unfortunately I was more productive someplace other than our farm.
Right.
So, you know, so, yeah. So I want someplace to be on our farm so that I can be productive there. I mean, that's actually part of permaculture. They have these things called zones and sectors. All right. Zones are, zone zero is where you live. So that'd be your house and the yard immediately around it. Okay. Zone zero is basically where your herb garden should be. Not necessarily your garden, but your herb garden should be right there in zone zero. The house is zone zero, you know, that kind of stuff. And then zone one surrounds zone zero, all right, and that's where your garden would be, your driveway, basically your everyday stuff that you're doing would be right there. Your garage would be zone one, okay? And then zone two would be where you milk your animals and that kind of stuff. And then zone three is where the animals go and eat, and you know, it just works its way out. Zone five would be your wildlife areas, the areas that you let go feral on purpose. You know, whether it's because you don't have time to get to them or because you want to have wildlife to have a place to live on your property. And that's important too. And there's these different zones. And one of the mistakes made by housing myself over here is I moved my zone zero away from the farm. Okay, and one of the things they explain in permaculture is you do not want your garden to be more than a couple dozen steps away from your front door or your back door. You know, you want it to be close to your house. Because if you have to walk a quarter of a mile every day to go work on your garden is not going to get worked on.
Unless you just love gardening.
Unless you just love walking.
That too.
You know.
But I mean, some just, people, that's their life. They love it. And
yeah.
So they'll, you know, walk to the front of the land, if you will, every day to work on the, you know, the garden or, you know, the crop, to weed the crops.
Well, yeah, and actually that's why I want to build two greenhouses first. We got this fantasy, and I really want to see us fulfill it, of building a 1,000-foot-long greenhouse. And it'd be along the north face of our land, and it would run up this gentle slope of our field. And so the west end of the building would be lower than the east end. No, the east end would be lower than the west end. And so basically there'd be this natural convection current that would be generated, where all the heat generated from the whole building would move to the west and all the cold air would flow to the east. So there'd be this constant mixing of air as a result. All right. And, you know, if we ever got it that full length, you know, basically, you know, it'd be relatively easy to heat up the west end, because all the heat generated through the day would flow up to that end. You know.
Right.
We'd have to figure out some way of storing that heat. You know, I don't know. It could be a problem. I mean, it could be 200 degrees on the north, on the west end in the middle of winter.
I doubt that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, 1,000 feet of heating all moved up to the west end would probably be pretty hot. I don't know. We'll have to find out. So, and quite frankly, the majority of it probably would not be greenhouse plastic. We would probably use something like the silage bag plastic to cover most of it, because we wouldn't be growing plants in all of it. Okay. We might. Depends on how productive we are as a result, but you know,
sure.
if it's productive enough, yeah, we'll invest in that much plastic in order to keep the thing going. That stuff has to be replaced every 5 years, so that'd be a running expense. Yeah. So and that's something that had to be covered by the production that came out of it, out of the greenhouse. So, but right now I want to start out with a 20-foot greenhouse on the east end, and hopefully another 20-foot greenhouse on the west end, and we'll work on building the space in between over time. But the east end is because it's closer to our woods, and that way I'd have a source of firewood to keep the thing heated through the winter. All right, and the one on the west end, we plan on having a farmer's market on our land. Well, how am I supposed to keep an eye on the farmer's market if I'm living all the way down 1,000 feet away? That's not going to work out too well. So I want a second house, a summer house, up on the west end where I can see who's coming and going and come out and greet them and take care of their needs and, you know, maintain a garden up there. I mean, I've already planted my blackberries up there. Okay.
Right.
You know. And it'll make it easier for me to keep an eye on the goats when they approach said garden.
True. Well, hopefully it has a fence around it.
Well, yeah, but even so, right now it doesn't. But, you know, plus, you know, summertime, middle of the night, want to be able to keep an eye on the deer who've been eating all my blackberries last year.
Right.
They figured out where it was. I'd get there first thing in the morning, and all my blackberries would be gone because the deer ate them all.
Dang deer.
Yeah, before they discovered them, I at least got a handful of blackberries every morning. Oh, they were tasty, too. Got these beautiful primacane, thornless blackberries. They produce. Well, okay, unlike regular brambles, these will produce on the first year shoots and the second year shoots. Most brambles only produce fruit on the second year shoots, and then those die away and make room for the young stalks that are coming in, you know, that year. And the young stalks don't produce fruit. But on these, the young stalks produce fruit, and the old stalks produce fruit, and then the old stalks die. So, which is great. And they're thornless. And they're huge, and they are tasty. So, I look forward to having full production this year. So, oh, hey.
And if the mammals don't eat them all.
Yeah. Well, the mammals eat them. Hopefully the mammals pay me for that privilege.
Right.
So, anyway. Okay.
Show notes.
No. Actually, I want to advertise for Cricut.
Cricut sucks.
Well, did they charge me any additional fees, or did they just charge me $60? Did you look?
No, I haven't had time. Let me log on to my computer.
Because they didn't mention any additional fees when I paid the bill with the debit card. Which surprised me. I was expecting additional fees.
There we go. Now I'm logged on. Let me turn my internet on so that I can access the internet. Okay, that looks like it's many.
Do 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 do.
Thou shalt not practice authority one goat over another pig or other animals.
Now, wait a minute. Pig or other animals?
Yeah.
Now, I thought according to Animal Farm, pigs were superior to animals. How could they be animals if they're superior to animals?
Well, the cops do think that they are superior to us.
Hey, you're twisting words now.
Isn't that what the government does? Okay, Cricut charged an exact $60.
Holy shit. So actually, I'm better off using the debit card over the 800 number than I am to go to Bolivar, spending gasoline, and getting a service fee charged on me to pay in the office.
There you go.
All I have to do is make sure I put the $60 in the account. Talking of which, I need to put some money in that account because there's only $7 and I forget how many cents. But anyway, it's under $8. And I don't know what the service fees are, but...
Oh, the other one?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I got your $60. I had a job today. The first job I've had in a month.
Cool.
And I earned $60. And I helped build some bookshelves for Deb. Different Deb.
Yeah, the other one's up in Wisconsin, Michigan.
For Deb and Kelly.
Right.
So, that was an experience.
Yeah, no, the other Deb's out of state right now.
Yeah. And I don't know that she wants the world to know that.
They don't know who she is.
Well, except for certain friends who would already know that anyway. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm taking care of her animals, and she's loaned me her car for that purpose. And I got chewed out today because I didn't go there this morning because somebody came and hired me. And I went there this evening. You know, granted, I don't know what good it did, but the chickens were out for, you know, all of 45 minutes or so. But anyway, she has this cat that she wants me to retrieve. All right?
You mean take to the farm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a black and white cat, and it's friendly, but it's weird. I can't get anywhere near that cat. All right. I can't get anywhere near it. So how am I going to catch it? All right. And so I made this interesting discovery today. Okay. Every day when I go to her place to feed the animals, this cat comes to the window, the sliding glass door, and very playfully plays at the sliding glass door. makes moves like it wants your affection. All right? And so I tap on the glass, and it bats at the glass back, and, you know, it's like, so we're playing, right? So I crack the door about 4 inches, wide enough to get my arm through. All right? And the cat stays. All right? And I reach out, and it plays with my hand. And I actually petted it pretty thoroughly, right? So, you know, it gave my hand a lot of affection. But the moment I opened that door wide enough for me to get out, the cat takes off like a bat out of hell. Now, it can see me through the glass. And it is playing with me, but just my arm. All right? But I can't really get close enough to that cat to, you know, put it in the cat carrier and take it home.
Maybe it's a psychic cat.
Yeah, well, we'll find out because tomorrow I'm going to do the same game. I didn't do it today because I wanted to make sure that I could truly get a hold of the cat. All right. But tomorrow, when I play with it at the door, I'm going to have my left hand gloved. All right. You know, leather glove. My right hand's going to be exposed to danger. So basically, when I'm petting that cat and the opportunity avails itself, I'm going to try to grab it by the scruff of the neck and pull it inside and hug it real tight with the gloved hand and then take it to the cat carrier and shove it in. Yeah, that cat's probably going to run for the hills as soon as they turn it loose on the farm. We'll probably never see it again.
Nah, probably not. You know, once it it's so cold.
What I'll do is I'll turn it loose in my cage. That's where I turned Orange and Mimi loose, is in that cage. And they found it to be a safe and secure place, and so they stayed and hid in that. And it was a couple of weeks until Orange decided he wanted to play with me. And he reached out, and you know how he does this, but at the time I didn't know it. Okay. He reached out and tapped my hand. Just tapped it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I almost jumped because I thought he was attacking my hand. But he just tapped it.
Check all right.
Hand. Well, you know, anyway, he just tapped it. And so a little bit later, I put my hand relatively close to him. He reached out and tapped it again and again and again and again. And so I tapped him, and he didn't run.
Not this time.
Well, yeah, no, he didn't. So I tapped him. He didn't run. So I let him tap me a couple more times, and I tapped him back and forth, tapping. And then I started petting him. And, oh, he was so happy.
So happy. So very happy.
So after he was clearly warmed up to me, Mimi soon after warmed up to me, his sister. They're very friendly cats now. Talking of Mimi and Shadow, remember when you were here last, we were having a hard time identifying whether Shadow was Shadow or not? Not Shadow, I mean Mystery was Mystery or not?
Yeah.
I think the answer is because the cat we were looking at was not Mystery.
It's Shadow.
It wasn't Shadow either.
That's a new cat?
Yeah, today I was feeding the cats, and you know how I tell you that there's, every time I come to feed the cats, there's about a half a dozen cats. But I keep seeing, I'm seeing over a dozen cats on the land, all right? But not at one time, okay? Well, of the half dozen cats, there was seven this time. There was Stinkat, there was Peaches, and there was five, count them, five black cats all at the same time.
So some cats migrated to the land and some cats migrated off the land.
Yep. And yesterday I saw a black and white cat. And I know it's hoping against hope, but I was hoping that was Stinky. Well, Stinky. I was hoping it was Stinky. Because it's that kind of coloration.
Oh, not the original Stinky.
Yeah, not Stinkette, not his daughter. Stinky himself.
So. Yeah, I have a hard time calling her Stinkette, but...
Well, because she's a girl.
Whatever.
Well, we don't call her Stinky Junior like we used to.
True, we used to think she was a boy.
Now she's Miss Stinky.
A very passive boy.
And what's funny about that is she's never been Stinky.
Oh, no, she just looks like her dad, that's all.
Yeah, and her dad, the only reason I called her dad Stinky is because wherever her dad came from, he was a cat food cat, all right? And Well, cat food, generally speaking, is not really all that good for cats. And since he was eating almost exclusively cat food, he stank. You know, it messed with his, you know, intestinal fortitude, and he stank. I mean, if you're farting, it's because you're not eating right. You know, ignore what they say about farting's good for you. Yeah, farting's good for you. If you ate something bad, you should fart and release some of that stuff, okay? But if you're eating good stuff, you're not going to fart.
As much.
Well, you're just not really going to fart.
No, you'll fart. Your farts won't stink as bad.
That's true. They won't stink. And mostly what they'll be is air that you accidentally swallowed and things like that. They will not be the results of fermenting rotten vegetation in your gut. All right? They won't be the result of you encouraging bad bacteria to grow in your gut. But if you got the right bacteria growing in your gut, that bacteria is going to help break down the sugars and stuff in your gut and the, you know, fibrous material in your gut to be useful and helpful and nutritious for you. Whereas if you're putting bad stuff in your gut, then those bacteria that form alcohol and methane gas and that kind of stuff, they will grow in abundance in your gut, and you will have stinky farts.
Stinky fart.
Yeah. And, you know, generally speaking, you won't really fart very much at all if you're eating right. And you probably won't even notice that you're farting, and nobody else will either.
Oh, stinky fart.
Okay, so this cat, I call him Stinky because the first month or so that I had him, he reeked. He smelled like a litter box. You know, he just smelled awful, so I called him Stinky. All right. Well, I had another beautiful cat that was a great hunter. And he started to learn to hunt by going with her and copying what she did. And pretty soon, he was eating a good diet of wild vermin, which is basically what cats should do. And, you know, his intestinal tract straightened out, and he stopped stinking. So, but You got stuck with that name. Oh. And
yeah.
And now his daughter is stuck with the name because he wasn't around for very long once we moved to the land. So.
No. Unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah, I don't.
Once they grow up and wander off, they usually don't come back.
Yeah, that's a shame. But yeah, we've got at least 5 black cats now and a black and white around. And if I get a hold of this other cat, we'll have another black and white. So. And, it's like I said, I mean, I've been seeing cats that we didn't bring to the land on the land. So that's good because we need to maintain our cat population. Sadly, none of the new cats are really friendly, so I haven't been able to get close enough to even identify them properly. I thought it was funny there was 5 black cats all eating at the same time, and I didn't know which was which. But that probably explains why Mystery's fur suddenly got slick, because it wasn't Mystery.
Maybe it was slick.
Well, no, there is a pure black cat that has silky, slick fur that's been showing up and was letting me pet it.
Maybe Tuck lost his white and became black.
Oh, talking about changing colors, Siam is an almost completely black cat now with patches of gray.
Well, seeing as his brothers are black and gray, that would make sense.
Well, he's a Siamese cat, and Siamese coloration is based on body temperature. And wherever, let me think this through.
Well, he's a mixed breed, too.
Yeah, wherever a Siamese is coldest is where the fur will be darkest. And so it's wintertime. He's been sleeping out in the cold. And so he's been colder. So the fur has been coming in darker.
Right.
Come summer, he'll probably turn into his normal, almost white and black self. Well, he's gray. He was gray. He was always gray. But, you know, he'd be a lighter gray with black nose and black ears and black tail. You know.
Yeah, he'll look like a
Siamese again. But right now, he looks like a mottled mess.
Nice.
He's about 50-50 black and gray now. All right, so I'm going to move that line over. And then, okay, I'll leave the gravel to you. And,
yeah, since it's not dirty gravel. It's not going to set up as quick, and I can worry about it when I get it back.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'll work on – I'd like to get some chains. I'd like to get some chains about – I have to figure it out. I'll tell you how long the chains I want, and I want 3 metal rings to go with them. And basically what I want them for is for triangulation. So that I can move a parallel line over from the line I already did.
Okay.
You know, and I'll just move that across the field and until I get to about where we want that line for the solar panels. And I'll carefully measure and verify its straightness relative to the original stuff. And then I'll be that line. So. All right.
Bada bing.
Whoa, it's 9:13 already?
Ron Paul time.
Ron Paul.
All right. Going there now.
January 29th. Last week, the Senate confirmed Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chairman by a vote of 84-13. This is in contrast to the contentious debates and closer votes over Janet Yellen's confirmation in 2014 and Ben Bernanke's confirmation for a second term in 2010. Powell's benefited from a perception that the economy's recovery from the 2007-08 meltdown proves that the Fed is a capable manager of monetary policy. However, the perceptions of economic recovery and Federal Reserve competence are both far from the truth. The economy may seem to have recovered, but the recovery is not built on a firm foundation. Instead, it rests on Fed-created bubbles in areas such as automobile sales, credit card debt, student loan debt, stocks, and even a new housing bubble. The most dangerous bubble is the government debt bubble. The Fed facilitates deficit spending by monetizing the federal debt. This desire to enable Congress's spending addiction is a major reason why the Fed cannot significantly raise interest rates, as increasing rates could increase federal debt payments to unsustainable levels. This may be one reason why President Trump has reversed course and endorsed low interest rates. Of course, all first-term presidents want low interest rates since they believe the low rates boost the economy and thus help them win re-election. One of the issues Powell will face is increasing challenges to the dollar's world reserve currency status. China is pressuring Saudi Arabia to price oil in Chinese yuan instead of in American dollars. China and other countries may take other steps, such as halting purchases of treasury bonds that could weaken the dollar. The threats to the dollar's world reserve currency status will increase as concerns about U.S. government and private debt sector, as well as resentment over U.S. militarism and protectionism, grows. The dollar still maintains its reserve currency status, not because the dollar is strong, but because other countries' currencies are so weak. However, unless the U.S. gets its economic house in order, that may not long be the case. A new challenge to the dollar status is emerging from the private sector as more individuals seek alternatives to government-created fiat currency. The dramatic increase in the value of bitcoins may very well be another Fed-created bubble, but it is one fueled in part by desire to be free of the Fed's ever-depreciating paper dollars. Another sign of the people's rejection of the Fed is the passage of state laws recognizing that gold and silver as legal tender. Arizona passed such a law last year, and Wyoming will soon consider a similar bill. As the failure of our current system becomes more apparent, most states will give their citizens freedom from the Fed's money monopoly. Much to new Chairman Fowle's chagrin, support for the audit the Fed bill remains high. As knowledge of how the Fed endangers prosperity grows, the pressure on Congress to pass audit the Fed will prove irresistible. Jerome Powell may seem to be assuming the Fed chairmanship at a time of increasing prosperity and renewed respect for the Fed. However, the prosperity is an illusion built on a series of Fed-created bubbles whose bursting will cause a major economic downturn. This will increase both the growing challenges to the dollar's world reserve currency status and the number of people seeking alternatives to Federal Reserve-created fiat currency. Powell could be...
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, January 29th. Last week, the Senate confirmed Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chairman by a vote of 84-13. This is in contrast to the contentious debates and closer votes over Janet Yellen's confirmation in 2014 and Ben Bernanke's confirmation for a second term in 2010. Powell's benefited from a perception that the economy's recovery from the 2007-08 meltdown proves that the Fed is a capable manager of monetary policy. However, the perceptions of economic recovery and Federal Reserve competence are both far from the truth. The economy may seem to have recovered, but the recovery is not built on a firm foundation. Instead, it rests on Fed-created bubbles in areas such as automobile sales, credit card debt, student loan debt, stocks, and even a new housing bubble. The most dangerous bubble is the government debt bubble. The Fed facilitates deficit spending by monetizing the federal debt. This desire to enable Congress's spending addiction is a major reason why the Fed cannot significantly raise interest rates, as increasing rates could increase federal debt payments to unsustainable levels. This may be one reason why President Trump has reversed course and endorsed low interest rates. Of course, all first-term presidents want low interest rates since they believe the low rates boost the economy and thus help them win re-election. One of the issues Powell will face is increasing challenges to the dollar's world reserve currency status. China is pressuring Saudi Arabia to price oil in Chinese yuan instead of in American dollars. China and other countries may take other steps, such as halting purchases of treasury bonds that could weaken the dollar. The threats to the dollar's world reserve currency status will increase as concerns about U.S. government and private debt sector, as well as resentment over U.S. militarism and protectionism, grows. The dollar still maintains its reserve currency status, not because the dollar is strong, but because other countries' currencies are so weak. However, unless the U.S. gets its economic house in order, that may not long be the case. A new challenge to the dollar status is emerging from the private sector as more individuals seek alternatives to government-created fiat currency. The dramatic increase in the value of bitcoins may very well be another Fed-created bubble, but it is one fueled in part by desire to be free of the Fed's ever-depreciating paper dollars. Another sign of the people's rejection of the Fed is the passage of state laws recognizing that gold and silver as legal tender. Arizona passed such a law last year, and Wyoming will soon consider a similar bill. As the failure of our current system becomes more apparent, most states will give their citizens freedom from the Fed's money monopoly. Much to new Chairman Fowle's chagrin, support for the audit the Fed bill remains high. As knowledge of how the Fed endangers prosperity grows, the pressure on Congress to pass audit the Fed will prove irresistible. Jerome Powell may seem to be assuming the Fed chairmanship at a time of increasing prosperity and renewed respect for the Fed. However, the prosperity is an illusion built on a series of Fed-created bubbles whose bursting will cause a major economic downturn. This will increase both the growing challenges to the dollar's world reserve currency status and the number of people seeking alternatives to Federal Reserve-created fiat currency. Powell could be...
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement...
Yeah, China better be careful trying to get Saudi Arabia to trade in something other than the U.S. currency, because rumor has it that's what got Saudi Arabia in trouble in the first place.
It is, but
we're probably afraid of China.
Well, yeah, we are, because China threatened the Clintons with putting a nuclear bomb in one of the major ports, and, you know.
And China owns probably the majority of the U.S.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of the U.S. debt is owned by China. So.
Yep. And from what I understand, the Chinese own a lot of Idaho.
Well, that's probably an easy state to invest in. I mean, who wants Idaho?
Right.
I lived there for a while. It's so unwanted, they let them build a Navy base in the middle of Idaho.
A Navy base. There's no water there.
That's what I said, but, you know, hey, I was stationed there for a good while.
That's weird.
Yeah, I rented an apartment in Boise, Idaho, and bust into the Navy base every day.
Oh, yeah. Bubbles. Yeah. Maybe now's a good time to invest in Bitcoin, because everybody's talking about Bitcoin.
Well, Bitcoin is highly erratic. It's worse, in my opinion, it's worse than Federal Reserve notes. Except for the fact it is not a government-issued currency, and therefore very difficult for any government agency to truly tax it.
Or control it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my praise of it falls along the lines of when they tried to force the people of India to use the government-sanctioned cryptocurrency, the people said, hell no, we won't go. We'll use Bitcoin instead, which scared the hell out of the government of India. And so the government of India very quickly straightened out its act and reissued all the paper money that they'd pulled off the market so that people would go back to using the Indian currency. But, you know, I'm sure the damage was done, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so. But, yeah, I mean, that's like 10% of the human population experiment to see if they could get them to go on to a government-sanctioned cryptocurrency. And the answer was, hell no. All right. So, yeah.
Okay, notes.
Notes, show notes. Oh, I do have a question. Is Ron Paul unaware of the fact that the Federal Reserve is beyond its charter?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say something about that. Yeah, I've been finding brand new printed Federal Reserve notes that was obviously printed this year and last year, but they still say like 2009 on them.
2009 or 2013?
Nine through 13 is what they're printing. Even though Even though they're still printing them today, they're only putting 9 through 13 on it. Even though it's the new, supposedly non-counterfeitable money that's being printed by the counterfeiters. You know, it's their new technology money or whatever. But it still says 2009, 2010, 2012, 2013.
Right.
So I don't know what they're printing this year, but last year I think they were printing 2009. So this year they're printing 2010 probably.
Oh, so they're cycling through the years. It's just they go back and cycle through some years.
Right. I mean, it takes money anyway. They can do whatever the hell they want, right?
Yeah. Well, even though the Federal Reserve has lost its charter, so long as you agree to use their stuff.
Yeah, they've got you hooked. So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether they have a charter or not. As long as you agree to use their crap, you've agreed to use their crap.
Right.
You know.
Pretty much. So, yeah. Using Federal Reserve notes. Create your own notes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, rather than use Federal Reserve notes, create your own notes.
Right.
I mean, all a Federal Reserve note is a promissory note in the first place. So, you know, and that's what Bitcoins are. Bitcoins are basically electronic promissory notes, all right? Here's the problem with the Bitcoin. Bitcoin has absolutely no intrinsic value. It's, you know, what's the value of an electron?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's probably worse than a Federal Reserve note because you can physically hold and touch a Federal Reserve note. You know, digital currency can just go away like that, like your hard drive crashes and you lose all your data. Same thing. You know, why would you want to go paperless with your money?
Okay, the first time I saw Bitcoin lose all of its value, which it does on a regular basis, you know, eventually people are going to get tired of Bitcoin and stop using it, all right? But in the meantime, it keeps bouncing back. It's been very resilient. It has been squashed all the way down to zero, and right now it's now, you know, playing around with being the same value as an ounce of gold. You know,
right
now, like Bill is telling me, well, how do you even invest in bitcoins? It's like, well, you know, you get yourself a Bitcoin wallet, which is a piece of software, and you know, you sell some stuff for some bitcoins. Voila, you got yourself some bitcoins. You know, now he didn't understand this concept, but bitcoins are infinitely divisible. All right. So even though a bitcoin is worth more than an ounce of gold, and apparently at one point substantially more than an ounce of gold, you don't have to sell your item for a single bitcoin. You can sell your item for 1/1,000,000,000th of a Bitcoin if you wanted to set it at such a low value. But you can, whatever fraction of a Bitcoin you want to be paid, that's what you can price your item at. And somebody can pay you that fractional amount, and it'll be recorded, and it'll be kept in your little wallet and whatever. Okay?
Right, kind of like a yen. There's so many thousands of yens.
Well,
so it's like you can fractionalize it. Like, say you want 1 yen or 5 yens, that would be like 5 yens would be like 5/1,000th of a yen.
Right.
5/1,000th of what, whatever, you know. Because like, I think it's like how many thousands of yens is equivalent to a dollar?
Well, see, here's the difference between Bitcoin and that yen, okay? All right, so let's go back to Federal Reserve notes, just so that our people would understand. All right, the smallest coin we have in Federal Reserve notes at this point is basically the penny, all right?
Right.
And, you know, it used to be the mill. It'd be 10 mils to a penny. You know, 10 mils to a cent, okay? And you could go as low as a mil, all right?
The smallest Federal Reserve note would be a non-copper penny.
Yeah, well, okay. So Bitcoin used to be, let's say Bitcoins were a dollar a piece right now, okay? They're nowhere near that right now, but let's pretend they were, okay? 1/100th of a Bitcoin would be worth a penny, okay? But you could charge 1/1,000th of a penny for your 1/1,000th of a Bitcoin for your product, which would be equal to a mil, which is no longer in circulation. All right, you could do 1/10th of that, 1/10th mil's worth of Bitcoin. All right, whatever fraction you wanted to do, you could do that. Okay, so you don't have to charge a whole Bitcoin. You can charge any fraction of a Bitcoin you can imagine, okay? It's not even limited by current currency, okay? Now, if you wanted to liquidate your Bitcoins into some common physical currency that they have now, then yeah, you're stuck with those minute amounts that they'll do. But you know, Bitcoins, you can divide them up as small as you want, you know. So it doesn't really matter how high the value of Bitcoins gets. You can always use them to buy an item. Whereas if you're dealing in gold and silver and the smallest coin you can lay your hands on is a gram of gold or a gram of silver, it might not be reasonable to buy a loaf of bread with that. Because, you know, who wants to pay $40 for a loaf of bread because, you know, the smallest coin you can get in gold is a gram. Okay? So, whereas with the Bitcoin, you can divide it even smaller, you know, however small you need to in order to make it worthwhile to buy that loaf of bread. So, anyway, so I was trying to explain that to Bill, and Bill wants to invest in Bitcoin, and it's like, well, okay, you know, first off, you got to set up yourself one of these electronic wallets, and then you'll be good to go, you know, but, oh, well, I guess not everybody's technologically savvy.
What's that mean?
Yeah. Are you all computer literate?
I am computer dumb.
Computer dumb. Yep. Well, I stuck a bunch of wood into the stove before I started the podcast. I expected by now it would have caught and be warm in here. It looks like I'm going to have to tease it into better burning. Can you cover the podcast while I go do that?
Monologue.
All right. I'll be back in a hurry.
Not a problem.
Okay.
So we covered the disclaimer. We did not cover the fact that we have international numbers. So if you go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, you'll see the call-in number and the call-in extension. You'll see a link to the disclaimer, the full disclaimer. Because on the actual cover page and in the show notes, there's not enough characters. It doesn't allow me enough characters to put the full disclaimer as well as other notes. And useful tidbits. So I had to shorten the disclaimer. So there's a link to the full disclaimer. There's a link to the international numbers. There's a link to the program that we use to do our podcast, which is either freeconferencecall.com or freeconferencecalling.com. One of them is our old one. The other one is our new one. The new one doesn't charge me to call in because I got T-Mobile. The old one did. The old one that I know does not have international numbers. The new one does. So that's why we're using the new one. Mostly because it doesn't charge me to call my own podcast, which sounds kind of dumb. But anyways. And if this one starts charging me to call my own podcast, or David, or anybody for that matter, we're going to change. We're going to get a different. We're going to use a different program. Because why should we have to pay to call our own podcast? And we don't want you to have to pay to call our podcast either. Because all that's going to do is encourage people not to call, which is probably why they did a lot of it in the first place. Because a lot of people's podcasts are educational, you know, free thinking, they're political or anti-political. So, you know, maybe the majority of them are not what the New World Order wants, and so now they're starting to implement these charges, having these phone companies implement these charges for these podcasts. So anyways, but yeah, we don't think that you or us should have to pay to call the podcast. That's retarded. So, yeah, so go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. We have a link. Well, the U.S. phone number is right there on the cover page. It's on all the pages. And then the international numbers, you click the link, and it'll take you to the international numbers. Now, I need to update that. There was 62 numbers. Now there's 63. But if you go to the freeconferencecalling.com/wall/DDNT, which the link is on the website, there is a link for all 63 and more, if they add more later, international numbers. So I couldn't link you to that actual pop-up because I have to go in and do the page source and find the code that takes you to that pop-up. And I haven't even tried, but it might take a while. So I just created my own page, and it needs to be updated, but there's one number missing. So that's how you get to that other number. If your number's not on that list, go to the free conference calling website and find the additional numbers until I get it updated. Sponsors. We don't really have any sponsors, but we're looking for sponsors. I'm the only sponsor, so you might hear me talk about some of my websites like offgridsingles.com, truckerdate.com, polycommunity.com, oilsoftheearth.com, daviddavidanddavid.com, which is our farm. That's our off-grid organic farm and retreat that we're working on. And I got a few other projects. We do the web domains, host. You know, we sell domains, we sell hosting. My business partners do web development. They do IT support. They do all that stuff. We're like a little mini GoDaddy. So if you need any kind of web or tech help or support, or you know, just want to create a website, go to KCLAI. com. That's short for Kansas City, Los Angeles International. KCLAI.com. And that'll take you to my business partners, and they'll help you with anything IT that you need. And if you want to see all of my projects, all of our projects, everything, my other website is KCLAManagement.com. And that'll basically take you to everything that I'm doing, or pretty much everything that I'm doing, and David Ray. So, and our other partners. We have other partners that do other things, like Lenny Ladner is, I consider him a partner, which reminds me, we're gonna do another podcast here in the near future. And Lenny Ladner is going to be the co-host, and it's going to be a political.
Can I participate? Can I participate?
Oh yeah, it'll be that one will be a political podcast, and we talk about politics and New World Order and non-politics stuff a lot. Well, this one's going to be strictly politics, and we're going to be talking about those things specifically. We're Demented Dungeons and Dragons. Technically, we're supposed to be talking about the game. That's supposed to be like the new main subject. But we sometimes don't really talk about that. And if we do, we don't talk about it very much. So, which that needs to be the next topic. But, yeah. Mysteria Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come join me. Let's build a tribe there so that we can, you know, if you're a decent player, and you know, we can help protect against the evildoers. I took over a castle, a fort or a base. They called it a base. Somebody somebody stumbled upon me. I'm working on this
podcasting still, so I'm not in much company.
Okay. I'm working on this project in game.
I don't know. Does it look like your lights are up, Danny?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Ooh, that's a really long way. The metal bar on the side. Not that one.
Oh. Doesn't it work? Oh.
Sorry, Joe's here interrupting the podcast again, as usual.
Excuse me. Are we on live video chat or what?
Yeah, we're on live chat.
We're doing the podcast.
Is anybody else here?
Yeah, I guess mute while he's doing this.
Turkey. Nobody here but us turkeys. Okay, anyways. Okay, yeah, he muted. Took me a minute for that to sink into my thick skull. Anyways, so rewinding a tad bit. Our new podcast, it's not up and going yet, but it will be 2018 sometime. We'll give the announcement. But it's going to be a ScrapGov Scrap podcast. Now, Lenny Ladner owns the domain name ScrapGovScrap.com, but it's redirected to his Ladner for Congress website. So I talked to him about it, and he's already thumbs up, let's do this. I just haven't had the time because of my job and moving and stuff like that, because changing jobs, I had to move out of those apartments. I'm rooming now with a coworker that I met at the last job who's now working for the first new job and recruited me to the new job. So I'm bunking up with him until I get my own arrangement.
Yeah, how does he feel about that?
How does he feel or me?
Well, both, but as I understood it, he was showing signs of regretting the offer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, move in. It's no big deal, blah, blah, blah. I asked him how much he wanted for rent. You know, he's like, oh, no. This is me being a friend, you know, whatever, me helping you out. And I'm like, okay, cool. But then, I don't know, it's like he's, but I think that's just him. I think it's just his character. He's non-responsive.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it's like when I was trying to line things up because I was trying to get prepared to do the transition and make sure I have all my ducks in a row before I say I quit because I knew I would get kicked out. I knew I had to find another place to live. So I was trying to get everything lined up prior. And he was non-responsive, so I was freaking out. But so I was working on lining up other backup plans, and then child support threw a ringer, and that when he took my emergency fund, even though I've been paying my child support every month, you know, I pay $1,000 a month in child support, I've been paying every month for the last 6 months. Prior to that, I missed a few months because I was struggling. Couldn't pay my own bills, let alone pay my child support bill. I mean, I was paying it, but I wasn't paying as much as they wanted. So, but for the last 6 months, I've been paying regularly. I got, you know, back on my feet. I've been getting back on my feet, getting my bills caught up. I started getting emergency fund. I had almost $1,000 in there, just shy of $1,000. I pulled, I think, $200 out to buy these work boots because I needed the money to buy the work boots. And that's what it is. It's an emergency fund. And luckily I did that. I should have pulled out another $300 and fixed my windshield because then that would be less money they would have stole from me. But I didn't know they were going to do it. You know, I've been paying. So
if you knew they were going to do it, you would have protected yourself. So they never let you know because they don't want you to protect yourself.
So anyway, so I lost my emergency fund. I mean, I still have probably $1,000 in the bank. But, you know, that's partially allocated for certain things. 600 of us in my business account, which I'm saving up to upgrade Dating by the Signs, not Dating by the Signs, off-grid singles to a better website. I need $1,500 to do that. I'm also saving up to buy a container for the land because I need another container on the land. Another 400 of it was in another account, which is going towards my transmission. And then the other 400 was for me to live on. So this $1,000 I had saved up for emergency fund, and whatever I didn't spend this next 2 weeks out of that other 400 would have went into that emergency fund, you know. So it's whatever. But now I'm $1,000 or $800 behind. So anyway, so here I am, and he's not charging me rent, but I'm still going to give him money or something. I'm going to buy food. I'm going to do whatever.
Right.
You know, to make up, you know, take up my whatever, you know.
Be a courteous guest.
Right. Which I already know a few things that I can do to make things nicer around here. So I'm going to start doing those things. Actually, I already started doing those things. But, you know, just helping out. You know, fix the place up, clean, because he doesn't clean up after himself too well. But he's not as clean as I am. But,
is anybody?
My dad is. My dad's, like, so clean you can eat off the floor.
Yeah.
So, but my last roommate wasn't all that clean either. I mean, he was clean, but he wasn't like he didn't wipe the stove down. He left crumbs all over the place, things like that. So the kitchen area was with my last roommate. The kitchen area was the like the big negative. But nonetheless, you know, there's a few things that I can do to kind of make up for, you know, whatever. So, and I already started doing some of those things. And things have been pretty cool. So I don't think there's a problem, or I don't think there will be a problem. And I'm not a moocher. So, you know, I'm going to be, one, taking up my slack or whatever, you know, doing what I got to do. And two, I'm not going to be here that long. I'm working on getting a travel trailer or something so I can have my own place, my own domain, I can do my own thing and have my own privacy, and he can have his own privacy. We're not stepping on each other's toes. We're not right now, but after some time, we're going to start getting on each other's nerves. It's just normal. So it's best that I don't wear out my welcome and I get my own place as quick as possible. I'm trying to do something efficient. I don't want to spend $500 a month on an apartment or whatever when I got bills back home that I, you know, land that I'm trying to be productive on. So I'm trying to get something that's affordable, like an RV. If I can buy an RV or a camper, I can park it someplace for like $200 a month versus $500 a month. Take that $300 and put it towards something like my windshield or, you know, truck repair, land, other projects that I want to be productive in. So that's basically where that, you know, how that's going. But everything's gravy. Everything's pretty good. So far, so good. No problems there. So back to the podcast. ScrapGovScrap.com. Check that out. It might eventually be the domain name for the new podcast. We may come up with a different name, whatever, but we're working on setting up a political podcast. We're going to talk about, and we can't talk about that type of stuff. Like men or other animals. This podcast, we talk about everything, including not limited to GMO flavored cardboard and food paint.
All right, rabbit hole. How do you spell Mysterio? What?
Mysteria Legacy. It's called, or spelled Mystera. Legacy.
Okay.
Mystera.
All right. Back to the main subject.
That is the main subject.
Oh, is it? I thought the main subject right now was talking about the new podcast. So, have you talked to Lenny about all this?
Yes. Oh,
and
real quick. So, the Mystic Dungeons and Dragons podcast is a lot like Agenda 21 podcast. Agenda 21 podcast talks about everything, including but not limited to Agenda 21. Well, we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
Have you listened to Agenda 21?
I have not. I've only gone on what you said.
Ah, well, okay. Yeah, you should listen to that one. And there's also Agenda 31 podcast, which is
interesting.
I think they did that as a spoof for the Agenda 21, but it's still a very legally minded podcast.
Maybe we should call ours Agenda 237.
237. Okay.
Why not?
Why not?
Or some random number like that. 237 is not a random number, but for most people it would be. It's just not a random number for me.
All right. I'm going to have to ask again. Mystera Legacy. Mystera?
Correct.
Interesting. It did not come up on my Google Play search.
The image will be almost like a Mario Brothers type image. It's got a little, like a big ghoulish type creature in the background, and then a little tiny guy and a little tiny girl. The guy's holding a sword and the girl's holding an axe. Actually, she's holding a pickaxe. But yeah, Mystera Legacy. And if you go there, I am in the seasonal section. They have, like, time zones. There's, like, one, two, oh, hey, let me go there real quick. Loading. They have five time zones. They got the West, or U.S. West, U.S. Texas, Brazil, U.S. East, and Europe time zones. The games are identical. They're just basically different servers. There's six different servers. And the seasonal one, they should rename it to international. And that's the one that I go to because it's like an international one. But there's less people there, it seems like. There's less people in the U.S. West, U.S. Texas, and the Brazil one. The most popular ones are the East Coast ones and the East Coast one and the European one. Those are the two popular ones. But like I said, I'm in the seasonal one. I consider that to be, like I said, international.
Well, for whatever reason, it is not coming up on my Google Play search.
Go to Kick. Go to the Demented Dungeons and Dragons Kick group chat. And it is in there. It's one of the last posts that I made.
Right. You Interesting.
So
Aruna came up on this search. Final Fantasy came up. I put up that name, and lots of games of that nature pop up, but not that game itself. So clearly, Google is aware of the game, or it would not have given such a positive search. But for whatever reason, it's preventing me from even seeing that game.
Well, try Mysteria Legacy MMORPG.
Yeah. That actually comes up. MMORPG Sandbox comes up as a standard search. And all the same, even if I click that in, what it tells me is no results. There are no results for that search. It's like, F you. Clearly there is. Clearly you're aware of it. Why are you blocking me from it?
I don't know. It's an unreleased app.
Oh. So you have to get it from their website directly.
No, I looked it up.
Yeah, see, I put in all that. No results found for Mysteria Legacy MMORPG Sandbox. But clearly lots of people have searched for exactly that. And yet...
Go to KIK and go to the Demented Dungeons and Dragons chat group and click on the link.
I'm looking.
And if you're listening to the podcast and you want the link to the game, go to KIK, look up Demented Dungeons and Dragons, find our chat group, sign up, and request the link, and we'll send it to you. Because KIK, we only use KIK, well, I only use it for the game. I don't use it for anything else. So that's, if you try to kick me for any other reason, I will delete you.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of young women have discovered exactly that.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the exception to the rule if they're not catfish.
Right. Well, I think you've marked them all as catfish.
Well, and also, if you're a woman trying to get a date on Demented Dungeons and Dragons chat group on Kick, I'm going to boot you. If you talk about games that are not PK related, if you will, then you don't belong in that chat group.
Okay, I'm on Kick. How do I do a search?
Kick? What do you mean?
I'm on Kick. How do I do a search for Demented Dungeons and Dragons?
Just type in, oh.
Yeah, type in where?
You see the little plus sign at the bottom right?
Okay. Clicking on that.
Click that. It says, start a group, search for people, public groups. Go to public groups, type in, Demented. There it is. All you got to do is type in DEME, and we're the third one on the list.
Do I need to put a hashtag in front of that?
You don't have to.
Nope. It came up. I got dement. It came up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I have this program called Andy. Okay, Andy is a Android emulation on your PC. They probably have it for Apple also, but okay. So I'm going to click Join Public Group.
Here's a group that's called Fuck You, Michael.
Something went wrong. Please give it another whirl. Okay. Something went wrong. Please give it another whirl. Okay, I can't join.
That's because you're already a member.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you created another character.
Yeah, this is a phone called Andy.
No.
And it might be that it doesn't have a phone number associated with it, and therefore it won't let me join.
Oh, that's weird. I just tried to join a PK group, and it says, this group is full. Please try again later. Yeah, you're only allowed to have 50 people in your group. We got less than 50 people in ours.
Yeah, I can see them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Whoa, that's my picture on Kick? That's disgusting. So, I see two girls, Alicia and Misty.
Oh, yeah, Misty was Queenie15 in PK. The one with the angel wings and the bunny rabbit ears.
Okay, yeah. Buok's queen.
Yeah, Alicia's the queen. And then those other two were members of the kingdom. I don't know them. I've talked to them, but the king and queen know them a lot better than we do, or I do.
Okay, I'm spamming the group by clicking repeatedly on join.
I don't know that you're spamming the group because I haven't got any notifications.
Well, it's denial of service attack. I'm sending tons of requests at it. It's not working.
Well, okay. Let's see here. Members. How do I look at members? Here we go. If you have trouble joining, contact David-Ray or NYOB or Kano Trump, and we will add you to the group. Just, you know, give us your name. Well, hit us up on KIK, and then I'll have your connection, and then I can add you to the group. So,
all right.
Kano Trump is spelled like Cain and Abel, C-A-I-N-O, and then you know how to spell Trump.
Interesting. I can't click on your icon inside the group there.
Oh, yeah. That would be the other way if it's possible.
All right. I'm clicking on the Kano that I contacted January 9th, and you responded with, do I know you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, my logo is a Map Your Empire logo.
Yep. Hi. Me again. Please add me to... Did you really?
Probably.
Oh, but, yeah. I tried to join Demented Dungeons & Dragons before. And... you didn't respond to any of that after the fact.
Yeah, I'm deleting this girl. I don't know her. D-U-E is typing.
All All right, I just sent you a new message just now on Kick.
Oh, you changed your name to Doofus.
Well, this is from, you know, a different phone, basically.
Yeah, but
whatever. Now add me.
Oh, I was being funny when I said, "Do I know you?" Okay.
Yeah. Now add me to the. Do I know you?
put your wine in. Should I add Sir Snot to the group?
Why not? Does he want to join?
He can always opt out.
Oh. I see what you're saying. Oh my gosh.
Sir Snot is also added. He's local. He's not that far from us. I think he lives in the Boot Hill down by King Futura.
Okay.
He's probably a trusted member. I primarily only added people from our kingdom. But, up to 50 people are more than happy to join.
Okay, so now I've joined this Kick, and I don't see anything on it other than said you added me to the chat.
Oh, I know, because it stores the information on your phone. So you're not going to see previous stuff. You're only going to see what your phone has stored. If you sign in with that username on a different phone, everything will be blank.
Right.
Start fresh. It stores everything on your phone. That's one negative to Kick. So, Red Towers is now back up and running. It was down for like almost a month.
Now that it's
back up and running, I didn't ever go there because I'm spending all my time at Mysterio Legacy. Which is kind of what happened to my Dateline, TruckerDate.com, in 2016 when it crashed. Everybody left. I mean, the members are still members, but the activity's not there. They all left.
Right.
Because they found something else.
Right. So it's kind of a mistake for them to...
Yeah, now I have a really awesome website, but I got to get my member activity back up and going again. Some of this stuff is projects that I brought with me to work on because I'm not home to work on them too.
He's like, holy crap, you got a bunch of crap. But yeah, I did finally get all of those 2.5, 3.5 inch floppy disks. I got all of them backed up. I had like 2 boxes of floppy disks. I finally got them all backed up except like maybe 10 of them. I got 10 more to go. So there's 2 boxes I got rid of. And then I got my taxes. I got to finish doing that, and then I'll get rid of another box. And then I got these old business cards, other people's business cards that I've been collecting that I was going to advertise to, and I never did. So I got to go through all those and get rid of, and some of them are notes too, because I write on the back of my business cards, notes. And so I got to go through those and separate out the junk from things that I want to keep and get rid of those, and that'll get rid of a lot of stuff. That's one of my projects. The taxes, that's my biggest next project. It's going through and getting my taxes done.
Woohoo.
So, I've got 3 boxes already that's going back to the farm. And then the rest of these boxes are just, they're half full. But they're things, they're projects, things that I want, and other extras. Like I got some kitchen stuff here that I don't need here, but I get my own place, I'm going to need them. So, things like that. So those are going to go back to storage. And then these other, this other stuff's going to go home. And then I got a whole bunch of printer ink that I bought because they were on sale. No, they weren't on sale. I got them in Stockton, which they're cheaper in Stockton than they were in Kansas City, so I stocked up on them. And then I got a bunch of food. I got 2 or 3 boxes of food. And then 2 boxes of clothes that wasn't hang-up clothes, socks and underwear. Yeah, I'm just getting situated, getting organized, and cleaning supplies.
Ah, I may have gotten it. I had to do a Google search to find it, and then it had a button for install. Which is taking me to Google Play. And come on. Holy smokes. Ah, your device isn't compatible with this version. So basically what it boils down to is my emulated phone isn't sufficiently updated. Which is the reason why when I searched for it, it'd show me all this stuff that was similar games without actually allowing me to see the thing I actually searched for. which is crap. They should show it to you anyway, but tell you that, you know, you're not compatible.
Not compatible.
And actually give you a little bit more information as to why you're not compatible. So you might know what you need to do in order to fix that. But that's not the Google way.
No, Google stuff.
The Google way is to try to shape your mind to conform with their beliefs. That's the Google way.
All right. I can consolidate these two boxes into this box.
Underworld soccer manager. Looks like a mafia guy with a soccer ball in his hand.
What?
It looks like a soccer guy. It looks like a mafia guy with a soccer ball in his hand.
What?
Called Underworld soccer manager. Well, I might just find another cell phone emulator and see if I can get it to work.
I maybe got a month's supply of socks in there. Maybe not socks.
Hey, that's important. It's important to always have lots and lots of socks and underwear available.
And one more thing I got to go through.
Oh, my astrology project. My wine. Gotta have my wine. That's why this was so heavy.
Stop your whining.
Yeah. I was like, why is that so heavy? My GPS. Fruit snacks. Gotta have fruit snacks. Those are a necessity of life.
Fruit snacks.
Yeah. Lotion, small herbs, all right, I'm just going to put those in the box.
Alrighty. So, here it is, almost 10:30, and I don't hear us really talking about anything.
We're supposed to be talking about games.
Yep.
Like Red Towers.
Yeah. Red Towers is dead. Actually, Red Towers is doing beta testing right now. They're going to do it in three phases. They're looking to recruit 10 players, and then 20 players, and then back to the wide open thing. Meanwhile, I think they got a beta testing thing going this wide open just for the sake of holding on to the people who are PK fanatics.
Or RP fanatics.
Yeah, the PK fanatics. I think that's why they're holding on to that. They haven't said. So.
Right, yeah, because the old game is still up and running. It was down for a little bit, but now it's back up and running. Like a lot of people were like, hey, what happened? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. So they got that game back up and running, and now they're going to do a second game, a beta game. They're both beta tests. But, yeah, the other one's going to be in a more controlled environment, if you will.
Right. And I guess they're expecting interaction because you have to be a member of the forum to sign up for that.
Yes. See, I don't really go to the forum all that much, but I was in the game almost every day.
Right.
So, I was a very active player. I'm just not that active right now because I'm playing Mysterio Legacy. But I still go there and check. I still go there and check out the chat every now and then. But right now, well, last time I checked, the chat was pretty dead.
Right.
Last time I checked.
Because they killed the game.
Yeah, for almost a month.
Yep.
And then we got 30 minutes. We cannot go over 30 minutes. So the next game we're going to talk about is Parallel Origin. They should be out in another month.
Okay.
I talked to them on Facebook. Their release date was a month or two. Well, it's been about a month. So within the next month, we should be seeing something happening with Parallel Origin. I haven't checked lately. Let's check on
that. So instead of PK, it'll be PU.
PO.
PO. PU sounds better.
I agree. I agree.
PO. PO box. Yeah, I don't know.
Parallel. Oh, no. It won't let me do that. Okay, Parallel. P-E-R-R. No. Yeah, P. How do you spell Parallel again?
P-A-R-E-L-L-E-L, I think.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Parallel Origins.
Did I spell it right?
Origin. P-A-R-A-L-L-E-L.
Yeah.
And the app is not available yet, so check again in 2 weeks.
Oh, it says that on Google Play?
Oh, wait a minute. No, that's what I said. I just saw something that looks similar to Mysterio Legacy. RPG Dragon Lapis.
Okay.
Oh, I saw that before. I have not checked that out yet. I'm going to check it out. It's called Dragon Lapis. L-A-P-I-S.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll check that out. But there's others that look similar to Mysterio Legacy. In fact, there's another one called The Dark RPG. That one actually looks more sophisticated than...
Yeah, I'll have to sign up to it with my real phone, seeing as my fake phone isn't advanced enough to even look at it. Which basically tells me it's time for me to search for a more advanced phone. Let's see now.
Here's one with better graphics, but I'm not sure how the game works. It's called Exiled Kingdoms.
Okay. Now, what's the nature of Mysterio Legacy? It's a world of its own.
Yeah, it's definitely it's not location based.
Right.
I say it's semi location based just because
it's regional based.
Regional based. Yeah, it's got time zones, but the time you can't. You can't see like Google Maps or anything like that with it.
Right.
So it's not really location based. It's just that if you live in a certain area, you might sign up to a certain group.
Well,
which is what I initially did, but I accidentally signed up in the wrong group.
They probably set up servers in different locations around the world. And if you're on the West Coast, it's best to be on the West Coast server because your phone lines will communicate better.
Right.
Which, I don't know. I used to download files off of various sites, and they'd say, you know, they'd make available to you all the servers around the world, and they'd recommend that you download the file from the server closest to you. But I found sometimes downloading something from China was faster than downloading it from L.A.
Well, yeah, it depends on how many people are on that server.
Yeah. And even though the L.A. server was closer to me when I lived out in California than any other server, it was still better for me to go someplace that was halfway around the world.
Right. Oh, dang.
Okay. Well, now that I'm ready to pass out, the stove is actually now starting to heat up.
Nice. Map Your Empire. I haven't checked Map Your Empire today, but basically it's still just the same old chat as it has been.
Yay.
Parallel Origin, not Parallel Origin, Parallel Dimension, still is nothing. In fact, I haven't checked out their Facebook yet to see if there's anything there. But Parallel Dimension basically doesn't exist. I don't know if they are still working on it or not, but I need to check that out, see if they plan on anything or not. So we can quit talking about them.
We'll probably talk bad about them long past their non-existence.
No, I only talk about them because I got them on my list to talk about them. But it's getting old.
Really?
I mean, there's been nothing. They've been talking about doing it for a year, and there's been nothing. No updates, no talk, no nothing. I mean, it's like they don't exist, which they probably don't.
You mean it's like a money-sucking nothing?
No, maybe not like that. And that's what people accuse the Red Towers of being. Yeah, just a scam. Somebody said it was a scam. And they're just taking people's money, but they're actually working on something.
Yep.
They're actually being productive. It's not as productive as Per Blue was with PK, but they don't have the money Per Blue had.
No.
You know, or the backing. I mean, Per Blue had advertisers, they had money, they had developers. These guys are small peas like you and me.
Yeah, well, you know, when Per Blue pulled out on Parallel Kingdom, they basically opened up a big vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
So now there's a half a dozen variants trying to take this place. Whereas,
right.
You know.
And they had no competition in comparison. Yeah. They may have had competition to their other games, but they didn't have a PK competition.
No. No, they were it.
That's it. Their only competition was themselves with Parallel Mafia.
Yeah. Now, yeah, and Parallel Mafia, from what I understand, wasn't really doing all that good. But then again, I don't know.
Well, some people like Mafia stuff. Some people like Medieval. The people that liked Medieval were on PK. The people that liked Mafia stuff was on Parallel Mafia.
Right. Well, okay, so like right now, I'm playing Baba Noogie, which is a closed world, basically. You know, everything in Baba Noogie is mapped on their servers. Okay. I'd like to see something Baba Noogie-like made into location-based. And honestly, I mean, basically, PK made the world too big, you know? Maybe...
PK what?
PK basically made the world too big, all right? For the number of players that were on it when we were playing. Maybe it was the right size when...
I kind of disagree.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it was big, but... There was room to do stuff in private, and then there was other areas where you couldn't do anything in private.
Right, because everybody's there.
Right, that's why we was able to create our kingdom in a secluded area, because it was too big. It was big enough.
Right.
And our kingdom was protected because nobody knew where it was because it wasn't.
But here's the reason I say it was too big. That really is kind of server intensive to have that many possible locations to go to.
Probably.
You know, and I'm not sure how they worked out their monsters, but it seemed like. Whether there was a player there or not, there was a monster.
Well, with technology growing every day, their servers should have been able to keep up with it. Because it was an old school game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's got all these graphics like some of the newer games. You know, high def and all this other stuff. I mean, it was like 1980s version of a game. You know, it didn't have a lot of graphics. It just had a lot of options. Now, if it was bogging down their servers and stuff like that, maybe they could have taken away some of the options. But I don't think the size of the location was the problem. So much. I think it was just the fact that they were making any money because people were cheating. Virginia, I'm sorry. People were taking advantage of the money glitch.
Right.
I don't know if I call it a money glitch. I call it a pretty platinum glitch.
True that.
Yeah, I mean, people were taking advantage of the glitch. I mean, some glitches you should take advantage of. But whenever you're taking advantage of a glitch that cuts the throat of the creators, that's not a good thing.
That's something. Revenue generation for games and such. I honestly believe it'd be better.
They had advertisers because that's how you got free food.
Right. Yeah, see, that should be the way to do it. You arrange for advertisers. You know, you watch the ad, you get stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had a pretty good setup. You know, I mean, even charging for platinum, the platinum membership wasn't that much. I think it was
$30 for 6 months, or $60 for 6 months. I don't think it was that expensive. It was like $5 or $10 a month.
Yeah, I might have done that once every other year. I'm not a big investor. I'm not a big, you know, put money into a game type person. But okay, one of the games I play is called Two Dots. All right. If you want an extra life, you can watch a movie. Movies are typically 15 to 30 seconds long, and they'll give you an extra life. Or you can wait 20 minutes and get an extra life that way. Because every 20 minutes, you get a new life. Okay? So, you know, you log in. You got about 5 lives. Okay? And
you should have 9 lives.
Well, you burn through those 5 lives, and it might take you 40 minutes to burn through those 5 lives, and so you've got 2 more that you've earned while you were still playing, and you know, eventually you use them up, and it'll give the option of, you know, hey, you can pay for this game package, which they put this obnoxious price on it. And it's like, I mean, no game should be charging you $5 for any, you know, whatever. But apparently people pay it. Okay.
Well,
you know, they'll pay a dollar for whatever and $5 for, you know, some
more
bonus or whatever. Okay. But you know, this Two Dots thing, it's a puzzle game, right? It's a puzzle game where you get a random arrangement of dots, and you're supposed to connect the dots to make them disappear and solve the puzzle. Okay. And if you can't solve the puzzle, then you can play it again, and they give you a new arrangement of random dots. But, you know, still the same rules for solving the puzzle apply, and you'll, you know, you'll either successfully solve it or, you know, you'll have to do it again. You know, but if you do it enough times, eventually you get a random assortment of dots that's to your benefit, and eventually you solve the puzzle. All right? So...
Yay, for the puzzle man.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, you can pay for bonus things like erasers and clear a certain color or erase this piece or rearrange them or whatever, you know. And, you know, you can pay for those or you can earn them by watching ads. You know, and but they have advertisement, and that's the way you get stuff, is you watch the advertisement, you know.
Right.
So Mabinugi I play, they have what they call NX, which is Nexon credits, because Mabinugi is not the only game that Nexon has put out. All right, and you can use these credits in their various games, and you can go to your local Walmart and buy a Mabinugi card or a Nexon card and use that. Okay. I don't generally do that. Okay. Because basically I just play the game the best I can with what is available in the game. Now, if I really like the game, I might buy a card just to support the game. You know.
Right. And that's probably why most people do it. They like the game and they want to support it because they love it.
Right. And I'll take the appropriate bonus, you know, an extra character to play or a pet or whatever, you know.
Whatever.
Okay. But, you know, it'd be nice if Mabinugi allowed you to watch advertisements in order to earn Nexon credits.
Oh, it's strictly play, pay to play, or get or work.
Well, it's Well, they don't allow you to work for Nexon credits. Okay. So there's certain things I can't get in the game because I won't get the Nexon credits, and therefore I can't purchase those particular items. Okay. Yeah. It'd be nice though if I could watch some advertisements. See, and they'll get paid more from the advertisers than they'll give me in credit. Which is fine. I don't know. The thing I like about Two Dots is actually they're showing me advertisements of things that, you know, I actually am learning things through the advertisements. I wouldn't have been aware of some of these things that are available if it weren't for the advertisements. So they're actually going out of their way to get some good advertisers for that game.
That's cool. It's not like Google Ads where they remember what you look at and they keep throwing the same crap at you, even though you're not interested.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. It's like, I already rejected that company. Why do you keep showing me their ads?
Because you looked at them.
Because
it's kind of like Prepper. That one guy that Prepper was dating, he kept looking at her profile, and she kept forgetting who he was because, you know, hundreds of guys have looked at her profile. So she kept forgetting who he was and that she already rejected him. And he kept looking. So she looked at his profile again. And so he thought she was interested. And he started talking to her like, hey, I see you keep looking at me. You must be interested. And she got caught up. Caught up in a conversation with him and ended up dating him, even though she really wasn't that attracted to him to begin with.
Yeah,
she ended up breaking up with him because he was she ended up breaking up with him because she was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, she may be pretty intelligent, but she's an idiot.
But I mean, it's kind of like that. They keep presenting you with things that you've already rejected, thinking that you'll be interested in them.
That's all right. She asked me for advice at one point on her profile, and it was along the lines of she was looking for permission from me to lie in her profile.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, well, you know, you don't need my permission, and if it was me, I wouldn't do that, because, you know, basically you just tell the truth. Tell, you know, it's like, you know, I've been this way, but I won't accept anybody who's been that way. That's fine. You know, put that out there that way. Let people, because, you know, if they accept you, then, you know, they're accepting you. But if you lie,
if you present something that you're not, and they accept that, and then they find out that you're not what you presented, it's going to create problems. That's what happened with the last girl and I. She presented herself to be all these things that she wasn't, and then I found out about them. But you know what? I actually forgave most of the things that she lied about.
Well, yeah.
And, you know.
But it still was a problem, wasn't it? You accepted the difference between what she said and what she was. But because she said she was something that she wasn't, it still created problems.
Well, it did that. Yeah, it did create some problems because it created mistrust.
Well, yeah.
But then some of the things that she was hiding created even more problems, which ended up destroying the relationship. But it all results in the lies. Because she was
I would never do that. You must not have any of that anymore, because I would never have that in my house. And then all to find out that it was all packed up. Lots of it was packed up in her house. And I'm purposely being vague about what it is.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, it was more than just one thing.
Well, yeah.
It was like a half dozen different things.
Oh, yeah, I rarely drink.
Right. I rarely drink every day.
I rarely drink more than every day.
Yeah, right. The rarely drinking was a bottle or two of wine a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that over the course of the day, or was that,
every evening.
Every evening. So she'd like totally blitz out in the evening. So yeah, that was rarely. She wasn't drunk all the time, just at the end of the day.
Just every evening, yeah.
Yeah.
Where my idea of rarely drinking is a glass of wine every once in a while. Like,
right.
Even a glass of wine with dinner every day or every other day would be considered rarely to me.
Yeah. Whereas I started leaving that question of do you drink or not out of the equation for my selection, because
most of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, their concept of what's rare and what's a lot. There's the other extreme. There's people who only drank once a week, and they put down they drank all the time.
True.
For them, that was a lot of drinking.
They're more honest, but at the same time.
Yeah, well, their definition greatly varied from everybody else's. All right.
Right.
That's like asking somebody. It's like asking somebody, do you drink a lot of water? All right. You know, it's a health question. Do you drink a lot of water? All right. Well, you didn't define what a lot is. And so there's people out there who drink a glass of water, will drink a cup of water once a week and say, yeah, I drink a lot of water. And to them, a cup of water once a week is a lot.
Well, you also have to define what water is, because people say, well, there's water in tea, there's water in soda, there's water in coffee. Yeah, I drink a lot of water.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, how much pure water do you drink? What?
Yeah,
what's
how much
pure 100%
water? 100% water do you drink?
Yeah. And it's like, what do you mean? They don't even understand that concept. You know? You know, sugar-free, no carbonation, no fluoride, no dissolved minerals. You know, how much pure water do you drink? You drink distilled water. You know, and actually I don't. I drink well water, and it has lots of minerals dissolved in it. And I can prove that, because when I boil down about 20 gallons of it, there's about a quarter cup of minerals that I can scrape out of the container that I boiled the water down in. So, very alkaline water. So alkaline, I had to stop, and I had to stop adding baking soda because it was causing me to it's causing me to have gum disease.
That's not good.
Well, yeah, I mean, an acidic diet will rot your teeth. An overly alkaline diet will cause your gums to recede. You know, either way, you lose your teeth. Because, you know, if your gums get sick and can no longer support your teeth fall out. And if your teeth get too acidic and start rotting away, well, they effectively fall out. So you want that middle ground. And I felt safe adding baking soda to my water because usually the problem is being too acidic. It's really kind of difficult to be too alkaline. Well, I get my water from a place where the water is already very alkaline, and adding baking soda only pushed it. Yeah, baking soda only made it worse. You know, more so alkaline. So. Yeah.
All right. Time is up.
Alrighty.
Last but not least, Hobo in Red Towers is also working on a game. Don't know what it's called yet.
Cool.
Don't know when it's going to be out. Turf Wars. I think I finally deleted that from my phone. Dominant. I deleted that from my phone. So I need to delete that from my notes.
So I won't even try that one. Yeah. Was that from the list of games I sent you after I checked to see?
Yeah.
I was looking to see if there was an update for
Red Towers.
For Red Towers, because it'd been a while since I'd been able to play, and all these games popped up that I'd never seen before, but they were all location-based. And it's like, really? Wow. Okay. You know, because I'd been looking for things like that, and a lot of them had actually been around for a long time, but for whatever reason, whenever I searched for location-based games, these games never popped up. So, I mean, Pokemon Go popped up, you know, because it's location-based. But, you know, other than the Pokemon Go and the same company produced this other thing called I can't remember. But you're looking for the energy spots around the world is basically what you're looking for. I can't remember the name of the program.
That game you've been playing.
Yeah, I play it once in a while, but
the one with the rebels and the Alliance.
Yep.
Alliance and the other one.
You can be blue or you can be green. Unfortunately, yeah. they made the Alliance green and the rebels blue. It should be the other way around. Basically, the Alliance wants to control the energy so that they can control the people for their own benefit, right? And the rebels want you to be able to make your own decisions and not be enslaved.
But they don't present it that way in the game. They present it the same way the New World Order presents themselves to make themselves sound good.
Well, yes and no. They present the Alliance the way the New World Order would present itself. But they present the Rebellion the way Patriots would represent themselves. So they do present both sides, but from the viewpoint of the corresponding entities out in the real world. And so roughly half the people pick one and the other half pick the other.
So it's right? About 50-50.
Yeah, which is actually better than real world, because in real world most people pick authoritarianism because they can't imagine non-authoritarianism working.
Right.
It's like, well, that would be chaos. You're talking anarchy. Well, yeah, you're talking anarchy, and no, you're not talking chaos.
So that means half of the gamers are awake.
Maybe. Maybe.
They may not know they're awake.
True. True. And one of the problems with the game is once you've picked a side, you're stuck with it.
Unless you create a new character.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you'd have to delete the game. And then erase all traces of it from your phone before you reinstalled. And even then, I think it'd force you to be whatever you picked before. You know, short of getting a new phone, you're stuck with the choice you made, which strikes me as insidious. You know, so you're, you know, you might grow up, but you're stuck with the mistake of your youth.
Well, that's kind of like real life.
Well, yes and no. In real life, you can switch sides. You can actually learn from your mistakes and go another path. You can repent. But in the game, you're not allowed to repent.
All right. Let's see what else. That's it.
All righty.
So, I did not delete Turf Wars from my phone yet, but it's on my to-do list. I just haven't done it.
Yeah, stupid mafia game. I know, there's people out there probably like mafia games. That's fine. That's fine. And it, you know. But I don't know. I don't care. I don't care for mafia games.
No.
Yeah. All right, folks.
I'm deleting it.
I'm tired out of my mind and incapable of.
Okay. It is now installed. No more Turf Wars.
Woohoo. You're all turfless.
Right. So, I'm turfless. Oh, you want the link to that copy?
I already found it. I found that's the link, okay. And I can't run it. But, yeah, somebody else on that chat may see that link. But feel free to ask for anything. You know, if you go to that, if you go to the Demented Dungeons & Dragons Kick group,
yeah.
You know, feel free to ask questions. You know, even if it's redundant on what we've already discussed, because for you it's invisible. And so it should be repeated for your sake.
There you go. So that concludes the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to chemtrails.
Yep, and I'm glad I didn't promise Bill a game of chess after the podcast because my mind is fried. I'm going to stoke up the fire one more time and then go to bed.
I'm pretty much ready for bed too. So long, farewell, Wiedersehen, good night.
Yeah, you need to listen to the musical that came from so you can do the sing-song notes that go with it. All right. Night, folks.
DungeonsandDragons.com.
Yes, check us out.
Okay, bye.
Call in. email, text me. Heck, if you just want to chit-chat, call me. Bye.